Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshayah Perek Samach Gimel, Chapter 63. This is the continuation of Chapter 62, which we began yesterday, and it is also the continuation of the Haftarah for Parshat Nitzavim. One of the fascinating things about today's Haftarah, at today's chapter, is how it takes the confidence and surety, which we saw reflected in yesterday's material, in Chapter 62, and moves with it through a series of questions that the people have. The people question whether God is in fact going to save them, and move towards not only questioning, but also pleading with God, God, please save us. We saw that mentioned briefly in yesterday's chapter, in chapter 62, in Pasuk Zayin, chapter 62, Pasuk Zayin, chapter 62, Pasuk Vav, where the watchers on the wall, the guardians on the wall, are told not to keep mentioning God's name and ask God to establish Jerusalem as the praiseworthy one in the land. So there's the sense of praying, asking God to actually do what he has promised. In our chapter, that idea of pleading with God is intensified. But the issue begins with chapter 62, verse 10. And again, here too, I'm beginning with a few verses from the previous chapter in order to lead into the present chapter. Chapter 62, verse 10 begins the process of an announcement in the gates. Ivru, ivru ba'she'arim, panu derech ha'am. So pass in the gates, clear a way for the people. Solu, solu ha'mesila sakalume even, harimu nes al ha'amim. Raise up the highway, remove stones from it, lift up a banner for the nations. What is the announcement? Hinei Hashem hishmia el ketzei ha'aretz. Behold, God is announcing to the ends of the earth. Imru levat Zion, hinei ish ech ba, hinei scharo ito ufeulato lefanav. Behold, God is announcing to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his payment is with him, his reward is before him. Again, we're engaging imagery from chapter 40, the idea of the victor returning from a victory with his reward before him. God here is announcing to the ends of the earth and saying, behold, God is arriving. As a result of that, Pasuk 12, V'kar'u lahem am ha-kodesh geulei Hashem, you shall be called the holy people, the redeemed ones of God. What makes you holy? The fact that you are redeemed by God, that God brings you back to the land, and you shall be called desired, a city which was not abandoned. So here we have this idea of God returning in victory, announcing to the nations, saying that salvation of the daughter of Zion is arriving. With that background, we now begin chapter 63, which begins with a rather mysterious and esoteric image of someone coming back from Edom, who has trodden grapes and whose clothing is all red with grapes and with blood. This is, of course, the background for the American spiritual song about the grapes of wrath, and it is a very fascinating image, which has to do with the idea of recognizing in the defeat of Edom God's presence. Now, why is Edom here a central player? Well, in terms of the period of the Second Temple, the early period of the Second Temple, the period of Ezra and Nehemiah, Edom was in fact a nation which, although had been very weakened by Beit Rishon, became stronger and stronger in Beit Sheni, and occupied not only the Negev, but also the mountains of Yehuda, up to and including Hebron. So Hebron itself was occupied by Edom. And we know this from various records from the time of Beit Sheni, as well as from a series of inscribed potsherds, which have been revealed recently at sites in this area to the south and to the west of Hebron, from this period, indicating that Edom controlled that area. In a larger sense, however, Edom is here understood as as Rome, as the author of our present second exile. And so here the chapter is understood by many of the Mefarshim as a reference to God's defeat of this of the powers of Christendom, of the power Edom led to Rome, led to Christendom, led to the Western world, the powers of the West, whom God is here defeating in this ultimate battle. As the Radak comments, Nivuah zo al Churban Romi ha'atid, this prophecy is about the future destruction of Rome, Ki machut Romi tikarei Hashem Edom, because Rome is called by the name Edom, as he mentions elsewhere. Now here, God is coming to do, to take revenge against his enemies and to save the Jews. Who is this mysterious figure? All the Mepharshim here understand it as a reference to God, but it's important to note that in this entire section about this grape treader in Edom, verses 1 through 6 of our chapter, there is no explicit mention of God. Mi ze ba me Edom chamutz begadim mi botzra, ze hadur bilvusho tso'e berov kocho, ani medaber bitztaka rav lehoshia. So it's a dialogue here. Who is the question the watcher asks, the watcher who is on the gates, as we saw before, asks, who is coming from Edom, red of clothing from Bozrah, the capital of Edom? He is glorious in his clothing, leaning forward because of his great strength. And the marcher responds, the one who comes from Edom responds, I speak in victory to save greatly. And the watcher then asks, Pasuk Bet, Madua Adom Lilvushecha Uvgadechat Kidorech Bagat? Why are your clothes all red? And your clothing is like one who treads on a wine press? And Pasuk Gimel, the person who, the one who comes from Edom, is responding, Pura Darachti Livadi Umeamim Ein Ish Iti Veedrechem Beapi Veermesem Bachamati. So I have trod out pura darachti levadi. I have trod out these grapes on my own. From the nations, no one helped me. I trod them in my anger. I trampled them in my wrath. Their eternity went onto my clothing, and I dirtied all my dress. Now, what is the image here? It's a very strange image to tread grapes by yourself. Treading grapes is a communal activity where people rejoice in. This is not a normal grape pressing experience. Rather, this is the experience of battle, of defeat of an enemy, of treading the grapes as a symbol for the defeat and the destruction of the enemy. The grape juice is, of course, the blood. And here, the Netzach, which is mentioned in this pasuk, indicates that, because the Netzach here is the lifeblood of the defeated enemies, which this victor who comes from Edom has defeated. So he has trampled the grapes. This is here an image of defeating the enemies. Someone, the watcher asks, why do you look like someone who's trod grapes? And the returning warrior, the victor who's coming from Edom, answers, I've trod out the grapes and I've totally destroyed them. In other words, the victor is the one who has defeated an enemy, treading them out and totally destroying them. And that idea is explicated even further in Pasukim Dalet and Hey. Dalet 4. Ki yom nakam belibi ushnat geulai ba'a, because a day of revenge was in my heart and the year of redemption has arrived. What is the redemption? We will see. Pasuk Hey. Va'abit ve'en ozer ve'eshtomem ve'en asomech va'toshali zro'i v'chamati hisimachatni. I looked and there was no one to help me, there was no ally. Ve'eshtomem, and I was astounded because there was no one to support me. And what saved me was my arm, my strength, and my wrath, that was what supported me. Pasuk Vav, va'avus amim be'api va'ashakarem b'chamati ve'orid la'aretz nitzcham. I trampled nations in my anger. I made them drunk in my wrath. I caused their eternity to be lowered to the earth. Again, the mention here twice of the idea of eternity. This fits in nicely with the Radak's understanding of this section as referring to the second exile, which we're referring to Rome, which is a long-term power, which appears to be eternal, and here God is causing Rome to be defeated. It also fits in with the idea of the blood as the lifeblood, but it also indicates that, in a very real way, to the listener of this parak, and this parak is intended, first of all and foremost, as a listening experience, that the listener here has to think about, who is this returning warrior? After all, this returning warrior is capable of defeating eternity. Who is it who can defeat that which is described as someone else's netzach, someone else's eternity? And so the listener now responds in Pasuk Zayin, who is it who defeated someone else's eternity? Oh, it must be the really eternal one. Pasuk Zayin, Chasdei Hashem Azkir. I will mention God's kindness. So the idea of here mentioning God's kindness is a response to the Netzach imagery, which we find in Psukim 1 to 6. I will mention God's kindness. Tehilot Hashem. I will mention God's kindness. I will Chasdei Hashem Azkir Tehilot Hashem. I will mention God's kindness. I will praise God. For what? Ke'al kol asher gemalanu Hashem. In return for all that which God has given to us. All the rewards which God has given to the Jewish people. In other words, this defeat of the enemies is connected to the ge'ulah of the Jewish people, as seen back in Pasuk 4, where the word ge'ulah is used to return in reference to the revenge that God is exacting upon the Edomites. And so here, Chasdei Hashem Azkir, I will mention the kindness of God. I will mention praise for God for His kindness, for all that God has rewarded us. And V'rav tuv levet Yisrael asher gemalam kerachamav uchorov chasadav. And the great goodness that God has given to the house of Israel for having given them in accordance with His mercy and in accordance with His great kindness. Now, what is the kindness which God has given to Am Yisrael? Of course, this refers to the defeat of Edom mentioned here, but it also refers to past events. And throughout this chapter, the Navi will more and more and more refer to past events, leading Am Yisrael to pray for repetition of those past events. Pasuk Chet. Vayomer, ach ami hema, banim lo yishakeru, vayhi lahem moshiach. God has said, these are my people, sons who will not lie, and therefore He was their savior. The idea of sons will not lie, sons who will remain loyal to God, and whom God therefore rewards, and whose savior God acts as their savior because they are His sons. Now Rashi comments here, Afa pisha galui lefanai shiv geduvi. It's clear that the sons of the children of Israel will at certain points act disloyally to God. In other words, God knew this from the very outset. Nevertheless, God declares here that they are Ami, that they are God's people, and they are before Him like sons who will not lie. In other words, the Banim Lo Yishakeru here is a metaphor and not meant to be understood literally. It's not that the children of Israel are children who will not lie, it's that they are treated by God as though they are children who will not act disloyally, even if they do act disloyally. And therefore God saves them. Pasuk Tet, B'chol tzaratam lo tzar. Even though this is written as, in all their troubles there was no enemy, lo lamed aleph, it is read lamed vav. So in all their troubles, lo tzar, it troubled Him as well. As if this is the basis for the Midrash about God being with the Jewish people in all their troubles. B'chol tzaratam lo tzar. In all their troubles, it troubled Him as well. Umalach panav hoshiyam, the angel of His presence saved them. Be'avato uvchemlato hugi'alam, in His love and in His mercy He redeemed them. Vayinatalem vayinaseim koyume olam, and He lifted them up and raised them for all eternity. The idea here in Pasuk Tet, which is the concluding Pasuk of the Haftarah, speaking of God acting with kindness, with compassion, with mercy, saving the Jewish people and raising them up, and acting even more than that with a sense of being placed Himself in their troubles. that God's mercy extends to his sort of identification with the Jewish people in all their travails. Now, the Navi continues, even though the Haftarah doesn't, the Navi continues in Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10, with a description of the events of the Jewish people going back to Yetziat Mitzrayim. V'hem amaru v'itzvu et ruach kodsho, v'yehafech lahem le'oyev v'hu nilcham bam. They rebelled and caused sadness against his Holy Spirit. He became an enemy to them, fighting against them. Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, v'yizkor yemei olam Moshe amo. He remembers the eternal days with Moses and his people. Aye hama'alem miyam. Where is the one who raised them up from the sea? Et ro'e tzono. Who is the one? Where is the one who raised them up from the sea with those with his shepherds? Aye hasam bekirbo et ruach kodsho. Where is the one who placed in their midst his Holy Spirit? So where are the leaders who took the Jewish people out of Egypt? Where is God who brought us forth? Pasuk Yud Bet, Molich li min Moshe zroa tifarto, bokei mayim mipneihem la'asot lo shem olam. Who caused them to walk, who led them alongside Moses, with the strength of his chiefness, who split the waters before them, making himself an eternal name. So where is God, the Jewish people are asking? Where is that past redemption, the redemption from Egypt, that can serve as a model and as a plan for the future redemption? Molicham batihomot, kesus bamidbar lo yikashelu. He led them through the depths. This refers to the Kriyat Yamsuf, God leading the Jewish people through the Red Sea. Like a horse in the desert, they would not fail. The idea of a horse walking along sand, a horse is stable along sand, a horse can walk securely, and so too the Jewish people walked securely through the Red Sea. Kabehema babika tered, ruach Hashem tenichenu, ken nihagta amecha la'asot lecha Hashem tif'aret. Just like an animal in a valley, an animal walks securely in a valley, doesn't have to climb the mountains, so too God's Spirit led the Jewish people and they weren't able to walk securely. Nihagta amcha, you led your people, making yourself a name of chiefness. It refers to the splitting of the Red Sea, where God made himself a reputation as the chief and most powerful figure in the world. Ga'o ga'a, in the Song of the Sea, you have made yourself high and elevated. Here too, this is a reference to God's actions in the Red Sea, where he made himself an eternal name. And here comes the tefillah. The tefillah of the Jewish people as a result of mentioning all these acts. Pasuk Tedvav 15, Habet mishamayim ure'eh, look down from heavens, from the heavens and see. Mizvul kodshecha v'tifartecha, from the your holy dwelling place and your place of chiefness. Ayekinatcha ugvurotecha, hamon me'echa v'rachamecha, elai hitapaku. Where is your zeal and your power, the muchness of your innards and your mercy upon me have limited themselves? In other words, this is a God. You've mentioned your zeal and your power. You've mentioned how you look out for the Jewish people and have a tender spot for them. Kivyachol, why are you stopping yourself? Why are you not helping us out? This is a plea for this future redemption. Pasuk Tetzayin, the most poignant pasuk, in my opinion, in the whole chapter. Ki ata avinu, ki Avraham lo yida'anu, v'Yisrael lo yakiranu. Ata Hashem avinu, go'alenu me'olam shemecha. Because you are our father, because Abraham would not know us and Yisrael would not recognize us. You God, are our father, our redeemer from long back is your name. From eternity is your name. So this is a plea saying that you, O God, are our Father. It is you upon whom we rely. Avraham and Yisrael, our ancestors, might not recognize us, but you, God, are our eternal Redeemer, and you will therefore have an eternal relationship with us which causes you to be us our Redeemer, no matter what it is, no matter what we do. This is a plea for God's redemption based on his eternal relationship with the Jewish people, regardless of their present actions. Lama, Pasuk 17, Lama tat'enu Hashem midurachecha. Why, God, will you cause us to go away from your ways? Takshiach libenu miyiratecha. Why, God, do you cause our hearts to be harsh from fearing you? Shuv leman avatecha, shivtena chalatecha. Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your inheritance. Here we have the key to this entire chapter. Why, God, do you cause? And the mention here is that God is causing us to abandon his ways. Now, of course, that's not literally true. It is people who make their own decisions and choose not to be loyal or disloyal to God. But the Navi here is emphasizing this idea to indicate that the Jewish people is pleading with God to redeem them, even if they are not worthy. And kivyachol, the unworthiness of the Jewish people is imputed to God. And the key plea here is God's return for the sake of your servants, for the tribes of your inheritance. Return to us and redeem us and repeat the redemption of Egypt for the sake of your past relationship with the Jewish people. There's an ignoring of our current situation. God, redeem us for the sake of your past relationship, for your past relationship. And this is emphasized in Psukim Yutet and Kaf, and I will just look at Pasuk Yutet briefly. 19, Hayinu me'olam lo mashal tabam, lo nikra shimcha aleihem. We have become like people whom you have never ruled over, like people whose name is not associated with you. In other words, our situation today in the world is so desperate that it is as if we are not your people. We are looked upon as those who could not possibly be the people of such a powerful sovereign. And the parak concludes with mentions of Ma'amad Har Sinai. You did Ma'amad Har Sinai, you called us your people. God, please return to redeem us as once again. And so this chapter, which I will just now review, begins with the idea of passing in the gates, Ivu Ivu Basharim, the end of chapter 62. Then beginning of chapter 63, this mysterious victor coming from Edom, who has trampled all the Edomites and made his clothes all red. This leads to the idea of mentioning God's mercy and kindness towards the Jewish people, and leads to a plea of the Jewish people to God, saying, "We remember how you took us out of Egypt. We remember the acts of the Red Sea." Pasuk 17. Shuv leman avadecha shivtei nachalatecha. Return for the sake of your servants, for the tribes of your inheritance. Return for the sake of your past relationship with the Jewish people, and repeat the feats of Yitziat Mitzrayim, of Kriyat Yamsuf, and of Ma'amad Har Sinai.